You know, during those years of intoxication, of moving into something completely out of your head, you know, because I've been saved, 40-odd years, Jane? It is 40-odd years, isn't it? And I was very conservative, very serious, radical but serious. And then when I got hit, it just changed our lives. Changed our lives completely and launched us into another realm. And I want to read to you tonight from John 15. You see, I believe in the Word. I believe in the Word. I believe in preaching, Matthew. I really do believe in preaching and teaching. But during that time, I couldn't get my words together. And I said to the Lord, you know, Lord, these people have come to hear a word. And he said, John, they've had the word for 50 years and they've done nothing with it. And I'm sending you to offend them, right? To offend their minds, as John Arnott used to say. What is to offend your mind, to reveal your heart? So I want to read from John 15. This is a wonderful chapter. I'm going to read from the ESV. The Amplified is a good version to read it in as well. I'll read from verses 1 to 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already, you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Zilch, zed, or as the Americans say, z, z, z. Where am I up to? Can somebody help me out here? What verse are we up to? Verse 6, thank you, sis. Are there any other offers? If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, this is a wonderful verse. I know you don't like this word, Gene, but it's a supercalifragilistic. expialidocious word, meaning you really can't put it into words what it means. This is a wonderful verse, verse 17. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever. Let me read that again for those of you a little bit slow and not changed your coffee filters. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. Wow, that's a wow, that's a wow. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. In other words, you won't even have to make an effort. It will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be shing boing hey. Excuse me for the do excuse me. I do apologize. Oh God, I've got to explain everything. I got to explain everything. Shing is an arrow. Shing. Boing is the arrow hitting your head. Okay, revelation. Revelation. Shing, 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 shing. Boing. Hey. It really should be hey. Shing, boing. But it's shing, boing. Hey. Hey is the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's the little letter he put in Abraham's name to change his name, and Sarah's name to change her name, to do what she or he could not do in their own strength, especially as Sarah was barren when the promise was given to Abraham that you shall be fruitful through Sarah, yet she was barren, and the Lord released shing, shing, boing, hey! The hey into the atmosphere. Now, I've got to confess something now. I called you Andrew. I know I called you. And I know your name's Matthew. I know your name's Matthew, but I called you Andrew. And usually if I do that, it's for a purpose. But you're a connector. You're a connector. An anointing of connection on you. Ding dong. Boing. Hey. Ho. And so, being a good Baptist, we will finish the reading. Well, I was saved into the Baptist church. Oh, God, help me. Please help me, Lord. Please help me finish this reading. Okay. What verse are we up to, sis? Where are you? Do you know what verse we're up to? Verse 9. Thank you. Relax. Okay. Just relax. 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 It's going to be okay. Jean's here. She's ground control. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. It's verse 11, actually, says, you were wrong. You were out by two verses. Okay, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full or complete. Full or shing, shing, boing, complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love, shing, boing, hey! Greater love as no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. There's a condition. There's a condition in some of these promises. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. Okay, so we're chosen and appointed. Every single one of us in this room tonight has destiny. Every single one of us have destiny on us. The Lord does not believe in creating clones or robots. We're all individually wrapped. We're all individually called, and God has put a purpose in each one of us. And I pray tonight that the Lord releases his purpose in each one of us. We don't just want another sermon. We want a release of his fullness. We want a release of his purpose. We want a release of his revelation so that we may know who we are and who he is. Okay, we're nearly there. We're nearly there. Verse 16, we will read it again because it's such a wonderful verse. You did not choose me. Well, I found the Lord. No, he found you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, right? That you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide. So, and here it is again, here it is again. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. If we grasp what the Spirit is saying to the church, if we grasp what the Spirit is saying to each one of us through his everlasting word, you did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever. That covers a lot. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you. Shing, shing, boing, hey! So that you will love one another. Isn't that wonderful? So endeth the reading of the word, and all the people said, all the people said, Amen. Whoa! Ding dong. You know, you hit a very important point tonight about the seasons changing, and it's already changed in the spirit. Seasons changing. I remember a number of years ago, I went to a conference with a friend, and I was a little bit, you know, besides myself. And it was up in Sunderland. I think there was about 2,500 people there. And when we walked into the auditorium, well, it wasn't even in the auditorium, if you know what I mean, we heard this sound. And the sound was... That's what we heard. And I turned to my friend and I said, hey! I didn't say it. I said, Ken, that woman, that lady, will have every religious devil after her. That's what I said to Ken. Right? I didn't realize till she began to sing the anointing that was on her. And it's the girl from... a number of years ago, there was a CD that came out, Belfast CD, These Are the Days of Elijah. And she was one of the backing persons on that. But there was such an anointing on it. And then a few months later, we were in a house in Scotland. Yes. Were you there? Oh, hello, Annette. I didn't recognize. You were there, weren't you? We're in that house in Scotland. You were there, see? It was the house. You did not blonde hair. You did. You give Gina a hug. That's okay. Interrupt the message. That's okay. I don't know where we get these people from. Okay. Sit down. It was Annette's house. Isn't that strange? I didn't even recognize it. We were in Annette's house, right? And it was a weekend. Annette, can I ask you a question? Annette?
Yeah.
What was that weekend?
In Stirling. It was that amazing conference with John and Carol Arnott. And we had all the Brazilian dancers. It was fantastic.
Were they Brazilian?
The Albert Hall in Stirling, in Scotland.
No, but we were in your house.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for a weekend, remember? We sang Beatles songs all weekend. Yeah. Well, this girl, Liz Fitzgibbons, was there. And Liz and John was sitting in an easy armchair. You know, it was a relaxing weekend. It was non-religious. And she said to me, "Such as I have, give I unto you," meaning the cock-a-doodle-doo anointing, right? Well, I didn't want it. You remember? I didn't want it because I had enough problems with the drunkenness. I had enough problems with the drunkenness because when the drunkenness hit, I got out of my mind and didn't know what God was going to do, right? And I had no control, right? So when she said, "I want to impart to you this cockerel anointing," I said, "No, thank you." And she proceeded to chase me around the room, right? And then eventually I fell on the floor with my feet in the air, and she touched the soles of my feet, and she said, "Such as I have, give I unto you," right? And I'm resisting, right? I'm resisting because I didn't want it, right? I didn't want, "Lord, I've got enough problems," right? And then all of a sudden, I broke out singing, "Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now I have nowhere to hide away. Oh, I believe in yesterday, suddenly there's a presence hanging over me." And then in the middle of the song, I went, do you remember that walk home, Jean, back to the bed and breakfast? Do you remember the instructions you gave me? Do you remember what you said to me? Oh, John, I hope you're not going to be doing this as well as getting drunk. I said, "Jean, the Lord told me that he'll give, you know, I have, not the control, but if you understand what I mean, that we're with the drunkenness and it hits me and I have no control." You see, because a drunk is somebody that's out of control, right? There is no such a thing as a control drunk. There's no such a thing. But he said, I'll ask you to do it, and you'll have a choice. You can either say yes or no, right? So that's what I did. I used to go around and I'd cockerel over the place. I did it over a pastor, a Mexican pastor, in Wisconsin, in Appleton. And it changed his life. No, seriously. You see, some of us are educated beyond our intelligence. We're educated beyond our intelligence and we want to try and understand everything. But this season where the Lord's taking us is to infinity and beyond. Infinity and beyond. There's no such a thing as going beyond infinity. Infinity is measureless. Is that the right word? Did I use the right word? In other words, you can't measure it. I believe the Lord wants to do stuff for his people. We're in a season where the Lord wants to do stuff for his people and take us beyond our understanding. Now, I didn't understand all this stuff. I didn't understand it and get my 12 steps in order and then come into it. I got drunk and did stuff I would never do sober with no understanding. And I'm not saying that the Lord wants us to have a duh anointing, you know, a dumb anointing. I'm simply telling you that we've seen nothing yet, and he wants to take us out of the box, out of our understanding, and into realms of revelation that even our fathers didn't even dream of. I didn't understand this stuff. I didn't understand it. But this Cockrell anointing, we were in Holland. And we were walking around, I can't even remember the town we were in. And we were walking around the town, cobbled streets, and there was an old church with a steeple. And I saw one, we saw one coming in, didn't we, Jean, here, in the town here? Was it in the town here we saw one on top of the church? You know the weather vane? You know what the weather vane does? It tells you which way the wind is blowing, right? And on top of the weather vane was a cockerel. Cockerel! Why did they put the cockerel on top of the weather vane? Well, number one, the weather vane tells you which way the wind is blowing. John chapter 3, Jesus talking to Nicodemus, a religious leader who didn't understand the things of the Spirit, right? Because the Lord said to him, you are a religious leader, and yet you don't understand these things, that you must be born again. They put the cockerel on top of the weather vane, which tells you which way the wind is blowing, which signifies, which is symbolic, prophetically, of the Spirit of God. Which way is he blowing? Because that's the secret. That's the secret to being fruitful, is to know which way is the wind blowing? Because if you know which way he's blowing, you can align with it. You can align with it and go with it, right? And it'll take you beyond your obstacles, beyond your imagination, right? So the weather vane tells you which way the wind is blowing, but the cockerel, hello! The cockerel is prophesying. Now, I know that's very difficult to understand, to get your head around this. Because I was saved into a Baptist church, which was charismatic. Right? 50% charismatic. 50% Baptist. And you could only minister the gifts on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, between 10 and 11, at the breaking of bread service, when very few people turned up, and so the pastor was assured that nobody would get offended. And I was taught, and we all go to these conferences and we all take lessons in prophetic if you know what I mean, how to be a prophet, how to prophesy. Well, number one, you can't be a prophet unless the anointing is on you. No matter how many lessons you take, unless the anointing of God's on you, you're just doing it out of your own head, your own imagination. I was taught, this is how you prophesy, John. You say, thus saith the Lord. That's how you start. And in King James English, thus saith the Lord. Have a nice day. Amen. User-friendly prophecy. In other words, you must not offend anybody when you prophesy. In other words, I was taught prophecy consisted mainly of words. 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 To be or not to be. So you see, when I got drunk, in the spirit, I'm quite dignified tonight. No, seriously, I am unhygiene. I am quite dignified. Yes, I'm standing up. I'm standing up, and I think I'm putting sentences together, I hope. But back then, I couldn't even speak. Right? Couldn't speak. But I was speaking. I was speaking. Oh, forgive me for shouting. I was speaking in signs and wonders. What do you mean, John? I became the prophecy. You understand? I was a living sign. Hello. Oh, excuse me, I'm standing in a portal. Ooh. Oh. Ooh. I was a sign. But you see, the church was used to words. Or as I once said, the problem is you've been listening to radio. Hello. Words. When our generation is a generation of vision. Hello. Multimedia, interactive vision. And you say, well, why would the Lord do that? Why would he send you to offend people? It's a gift. Some of you have got it. You've been trying to get rid of it for years. Oh, God help us. God help us. God help us, because I'm not just speaking to people tonight. Hello? I'm speaking to principalities and powers that have held the church locked up. I'm speaking to principalities and powers. Ching, ching, boing, hey! It's a new day! It's a new day! It's a new! It's a new! It's a new! Ching, ching, boing, hey! It's a new day! Ching! Listen. The cockerel. What's it all about? Alfie. It's not about Alfie. What's it all about, Lord? This is crazy. What's all these manifestations about? It's crazy. It's only crazy when you don't understand it. But when you understand it, when you get the revelation of it, it opens up a whole new realm. What's it all about? Why is the cockerel sitting on top of the weather vane? And I asked the pastor, see, that's one of the things you do when you get intoxicated. You ask questions. What's this for? What's that for? Why this? Why that? You see things from a different perspective. It's a view from under the pew. You see things from a different perspective. And the pastor said to me, hey, ding dong. He said, John, they put the cockerel on top of the weather vane, and I'm talking about centuries ago. I mean, we think, oh, we're moving. Listen, St. Francis moved in stuff. They put the cockerel on top of the weather vane to declare. Hello. You understand declaration is very powerful. It's powerful. A declaration is powerful with words, but it's also more powerful in vision. A picture's worth a thousand words. A movie is worth a million. Hello. They put the cockerel on top of the weather vane to declare, we will not deny the anointing. Hello. Well, where is that, bro? Where is that? Well, it's where Peter said, I will never deny you, Lord. And the Lord said to him, you will deny me three times before the cock crows. So really, when I'm prophesying in the spirit, because you can make a gimmick of it. You can make a gimmick of it. But under the anointing, when you are prophesying, not with words, but with a, you're prophesying a new day, and this generation will not deny it. This generation will not deny the moving of the Spirit, will not go against it, but will flow with it. Hello. Hello. Hello! Ding dong! Merrily on high, in heaven the bells are ringing. I don't even know how to put into words. Jean always asks me, bro. She always asks me. Before every meeting, she asks me, what are you speaking on tonight, John? Because women like to know everything, you know what I mean? They like to know everything, right? You know, oh, you know everything. Oh. Whoa! Whoa! I'm so excited. Right. Do forgive me for shouting. Do forgive me for being crazy. You understand it's a very thin line. It's a very thin line between genius. It's a very thin line between genius and crazy. I was in a church in, where was it? It was in Canada. Not BC, the one before that, Jean. The province. Alberta. I was in Alberta. The pastor was in his 70s, and we're having these crazy meetings, right? And we're driving home after the meeting, and he says to me, "You know, John, this anointing you're carrying would have no power without the offense." Hello? Let me put it a religious way. The cross, right, was an offense. So what do you mean? Well, I simply mean this, that we have built fences. Right? We've built fences. And depending on what upbringing you had, if you were brethren, you didn't believe in the gifts. If you were Pentecostal, you believed in the gifts and speaking in tongues. And we built fences. And some of us built fences because we've been hurt. Right? And the hardest thing is when you're hurt in the church. Because you don't expect it. You don't expect it to come from that quarter. And so you build a fence to protect your heart. And in the building of the fence, you not only keep people out, you keep intimacy out with the Father, with God. And the gift of offense, it's a breaker anointing, if you understand what I mean. It's a breaker anointing. "Well, bro, we want a breaker anointing." Well, do you really want a breaker anointing? Because a breaker anointing is messy. Hello? It's messy. When you hit the fence, when that anointing of offense, and you get offended because, well, a preacher is crazy. You hit the fence and you go, "Ouch, ouch, ouch." But the secret is, get over it. Get over the offense. Come into something bigger, deeper, higher, wider. Hello. I did things. I did things when I was drunk, right, in the spirit. I did stuff that was against my religion. Because I believed in full immersion. Baptize them, full immersion, and any problem ones, you keep them under for 10 minutes. Till the bubbles stop. Tell them they're going to heaven. But when I got drunk, I started to sprinkle. See? Sprinkle. A little bit here, a little bit there. I say, "Oh God, I feel like a priest." He said, "John, it's holy water." "God, I don't believe in holy water. I'm Baptist." "It's holy water." I was in a meeting in Tampa. It was at one of those, you know, K's church team conference we had every January. Everybody was well dressed, you know. It was a Benny Hinn style meeting, you know. Because in Benny's meetings, you can't sit on the front row unless you're well dressed, right? You know, for the cameras, right? There was a lady facing me on the front row to my left, and I was preaching, right? And I was hitting the points. And then, bang! I got into another realm. And this lady's head began to enlarge. And I had this urge. I had the bottle in my hand and I had the urge to pour the water over her. Now, you know English culture. English culture, you must ask permission. No after you. No after you. Thank you. Please. I'm sorry. But you see, I was drunk. I was out of my culture. I was out of my culture and into kingdom. Hello. Kingdom culture, where the kingdom is taken by force. And so I couldn't resist, right? I got to that tipping stage. And I went over to the lady and I dumped the whole bottle over her head, and she didn't stand up and go, "Oh, praise the Lord." Were you at that one, Jane? You understand? She didn't get up and say, "Thank you, Jesus." She was offended. A $60 haircut style. Ruined. In the middle of the message, she gets up from the chair and she runs down the middle aisle to the back, and I followed her with a second bottle. I followed her with a second bottle, and I dumped the second bottle over her. Now listen. It's not a gimmick. We can't say, "Now I tell you what, next week we'll have a dumping water over people." No! The Spirit interrupted the program. That's the other thing we worship. He interrupted the program, and I dumped this water over this lady, and she ran to the back, and 2 years later, I found out she was healed. She was healed of palsy of the face. One side of her face. She was healed. And I didn't find out till 2 years later. She was healed. But you see, we have the format. We have the program. And the program says we have the worship. We have the preaching. We line them up. And we lay hands on them. And there's nothing wrong with that. Right? But if it's a program that's not flexible, that's not serving the Spirit, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't learn this at Bible school. Listen, the Lord is breaking something. He's breaking something. We've been crying out to God, breakthrough, Lord. But the problem is we have a concept, a paradigm that says it has to be done a certain way. And you can have a paradigm in the river. You can have a paradigm in a drunken meeting. If you understand what I mean, you can worship the drunkenness. You can worship the manifestations, but I want to go beyond. I want the manifestations following me as I go beyond to infinity and beyond. I know this is real. I know it's real. We're in New Zealand, and I was going down the prayer line, right? Splashing. And I hit a little girl, young teenager, sprinkled her, right? And she started to throw up. She started to vomit, and they ran to get the buckets for her to vomit in. And I continue down the line. Now, I've been in deliverance ministry. I was in deliverance ministry for 10 years when my family got saved and demons started manifesting. We had to deal with it, right? And I knew that deliverance was, well, you say to them, who are you? Come out, come out! Wherever you are! Right? But this water hit the girl and she starts to vomit. There was no word of come out. There was no word. Didn't even know she had problems, right? But the next day, the pastor gets a phone call as we're driving to the restaurant. He gets a phone call and it's this girl. And she says to, a young girl, she says to the pastor, Pastor, for the first time in my life, I want to live. Wow. Hello? Hello? Come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. There's so much more. There's so much more. We've not even scraped the surface. I love the way the Lord answers prayer. I'm finishing now. Andrew, this is your pilot speaking. I'll do as I need to do. They will do what they need to do. I lost my thought. She wanted to live. Yeah. Prayer lines. Prayer lines. Prayer lines. I think I'm correct in saying this, Jean. One of the hardest things for you in a meeting was when everybody else got slain and you were still standing. 500 people in the line and Jean would still be standing and her song was, I'm still standing. Because she doesn't do courtesy drops, right? You don't do it. You don't do courtesy drops. You did it one time going to catch a pregnant lady as she was about to fall and the spirit hit you and you fell. But the Lord began to speak to me about the idolatry. You understand? The idolatry in people that they don't feel they receive unless they're slain. And he said to me one day, and I was standing at the prayer line, and I was in Seattle, in a church in Seattle. There was a line, and there was a little old lady standing in the front line, and she was popping her skin, if you know what I mean. The joy was filling her. She wanted, just wanted to get up. And I'm standing there, and I'm looking at the line, because I'm asking God, what do you want to do in this line tonight? And a song came. A song came. It wasn't a secular song. Usually I get secular songs. It was another Benny Hinn song. When I say Benny Hinn, I mean he sings it in all of his services, right? And it was this song, He Touched Me. And oh, the joy that fills my soul. But I was drunk, right? And I'm looking at the line, and one thing a drunk preacher doesn't like is a zigzag line. He likes a straight line, right? So I'm looking at the line, and I'm hearing this song. But instead, the words were changed. It was the words, He pushed me. And oh, the joy that fills my soul. Preacher, pushed me, and now I know he pushed me and made me whole. This is your pilot speaking. Please put up your tables, fasten your seatbelts. We are about to land, but I'm just having a little bit of problem. So I will circle one more time and then land. He said, John, I want you to go down the line and I want you to sprinkle them. Remember in Chicago, Gene? The kids all used to bring umbrellas. They all used to bring umbrellas. And the key song was, I'm singing in the rain. Go down the line and sprinkle. And then I want you to push. And you got to understand, if you ever go on a ministry team, especially in Toronto, if you go on a ministry team, number one regulation, do not push. Number one regulation. Sprinkle them, push them. Sprinkle them, push them. Sprinkle them, push! You got to understand, I'm experienced. My mother had 12. All at home. And I'm the second eldest. Eldest of the boys. And so I had experience. I experienced 10 siblings coming into this life. And I always knew there was something happening. When the midwife came, who came quite regular every 15 months, she was part of the family. So as I'm sprinkling, I'm taken back to my childhood and I can hear the midwife shouting, push! No, elementary, dear Watson, elementary. Before the baby can be born, the waters have to break. So I'm sprinkling you prophetically to say the waters have broken. And according to 2 Samuel, David said, you have broke through for me like the breaking of the
waters in the States, water. In the UK, water.
I'm multilingual. I speak American and English. So that's what I want to do tonight. I'm just going to hand back to Andrew. And then we're going to line you up. I'm going to push you. I'm going to push you into your destiny. Hello. Into your shing shing boy. Into your destiny. Hello.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feel, and I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart, and I'm ready for love. Let the storm.